And this morning I want to share some of those ideas with you. Oh, somebody put some pictures on there. I don't know how well those come out in the audience there. I didn't ask Beth to Photoshop them for me, maybe brighten them up a little bit, but I think it gets the point across. It's because we have great people. And these pictures aren't going to go any further than this. They're not going to go on the internet or anything. You don't need to worry about that. But if you complain too much, I'll start getting them from Beth, and you certainly don't want that. Neva, thank you for the pictures. I appreciate that. One reason, if you will turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 2 this morning, one reason we have a great congregation is because we are knit together. And that's the illustration, knit together, held together, as the Apostle Paul speaks of in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, that your hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together. And we'll talk about three ways that they are knit together. But to illustrate this, I asked Beth if I could borrow something that was knitted. And she has this very special sweater that she allowed me to use just a little bit to illustrate this being knit together. And really to do this, I'm going to ask a couple of the young men to pull on this just as hard as they can to see if they can break it and tear it. Derek and, Beth said you better not tear it up, so I can't do that. But what would happen if I asked these guys here, young guys, really strong, just to take it and to pull on it just as hard as they could? Could they break it? Could they pull it apart? Maybe if they worked on it for a long, long, long time, but just here this morning, just sitting here in the pew, they're not going to be able to do that. Now, it will stretch, won't it? And as a congregation, we stretch, don't we? We're tolerant, as the Bible talks about being tolerant. We are flexible with one another. And these types of things, but yet the congregation is not going to break apart. Because we are knit together, we are held together with something that is really, really strong. And I want to talk about three things as we get started this morning. The first one is in verse 2 of Colossians chapter 2, having been knit together in love. Now the word knit, or held together as your Bible might have it, means to join together, put together, to unite. And so what is it that puts us together, unites us with this very strong bond? It is love. Love here is agape. And it is this commitment that we have to do what is right in respect to one another, no matter what happens, no matter what is required. Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Let's notice what the Apostle Paul says over here regarding our relationship together. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Now the word devote is the same word used of a close family relationship. And as a matter of fact, a congregation is a family, isn't it? I'm reminded of one of our songs in our book, number 643. And the song here talks about being God's family, and that's the title of it, God's Family. We're part of a family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. And that's what knits us together, holds us together, so that we are strong. For Jesus has saved us and made us His own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. Now the chorus says this. This talks about this flexibility. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. And so this word in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, devoted, is speaking of this family relationship. And it says that we are devoted to one another in brotherly love or brotherly kindness. This is love of our brethren. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And here the Apostle Peter talks about this love, this brotherly love. Now, I'll remind you again, we have our Bible drill begins tonight. And I hope everyone who is able is here to support the children. And we're only going to do it 8 times. We can all spare a little time to be here at 4:30 for 8 times, and then we'll take a nice long break and we'll do it again. But we're going to be talking in these 8 lessons about the 8 Christian graces here in this passage. And I want you to notice in verse 7, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Now notice what it says about all of these qualities, but we're talking about brotherly kindness and love today. Verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is why it's so important for us to be teaching our children, because this equips them to be useful and fruitful. Now look at verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. And so we need to learn to practice these things. And we are a great congregation because we practice them. And Paul says in Romans 12, verse 10, to give preference to one another. The word preference means to let others lead. In other words, let others go before you, and you can follow behind, give preference to their desires, their needs, and as we all do that, it makes for a great congregation knit together in love. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 John chapter 4. And let's talk about love just a little bit more from this passage. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And brethren, we have a great congregation because, most of all, we love God, and because we love God, we love one another. And we're devoted to one another as a family working together to get to heaven. That reminds me of the song 394, Love One Another, for love is of God. Turn your Bibles also with me to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. Not only are we knit together and a great congregation in love, but also in verse 19, we hold fast to Christ, who is our head. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19, of those who are doing the wrong things, it says, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. We are not like those who do not hold fast to the head, but we rather hold fast to the head, and therefore we grow with a growth which we have from God. Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. We've been baptized into Christ. We've been made alive together with Christ, and therefore we hold fast to Him. And because we hold fast to Christ, we hold fast to one another. Think about this for a moment. Each person who holds fast to Christ is knit together with his brethren. Each person who is tightly held to Christ is tightly held to his brethren. Think about that. If we were not a great congregation knit together in love, what would that say? That we're lost. Because we're not holding fast to Christ. Think about this. Each person who is not knit together with his brethren is not holding fast to Christ. You see, it's not an either or. We cannot choose to hold ourselves aloof and not to be closely knit together with our brethren and expect that we're going to heaven one day. It does not work that way. If we hold fast to Christ, we will be knit together with our brethren. If we are not knit together with our brethren, we are not holding fast to Christ, and we are lost in sin. Brethren, if this was not a great congregation, we'd all have a big problem, and that is we'd be lost. Good thing we're a great congregation, isn't it? Also, turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Because the Apostle Paul in this epistle also uses this metaphor of being knit together, held together. And notice what it says in verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love, growing in all aspects into Him, that is Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. What is it that is holding us together? It is love. It is the fact that each individual member is holding fast to Christ, and it is because each member is doing his work in the Lord. Pretty interesting to think about that, isn't it? If we are not doing the work God would have us to do, we would not be held together, knit together, as the Lord would have us to be knit together. We are a growing congregation because we're knit together in love, we're all holding fast to Christ, and we are all doing our work. An old saying goes like this: a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And in this metaphor, perhaps we would say that our young people would be those who are weaker. They have not been Christians very long. They don't have the growth and maturity and spirituality that comes from age and study of the Word of God. Or maybe it might be those who are new Christians. But those who are youngest in the faith in this congregation are very strong. We'll talk about that more a little bit later. Let me give you just some examples of each giving and doing their part. I thought about Irene, who has been sick and in the hospital. I thought about the children and the young people who made cards and sent to her, doing their part. I thought about the mother who took young children to visit just recently and lifted her spirits. I thought of the young mother who took a baby there and brushed her hair, took out her trash, and took over two meals. I thought of the couple who went and visited, cleaned out the refrigerator, vacuumed the carpets, and took out some trash. I think of the one who went this morning and picked her up for church and brought her. And those are only the ones I know about that have occurred over the last very few days. And I'm sure others have done things. I'm sure other calls have been made. But this is only one example of individuals thinking about the things that they need to do and they can do and stepping out and doing those things. Nobody told any of them to do what they did. That makes a great congregation. That's one of the reasons we have a great congregation. Now, because we are knit together in love, and because we are holding fast to Christ, who is the head, as we all do our work, our assemblies are great. As we assemble together to worship in spirit and in truth, and I want to read this verse with you. I know you know it very well, but turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 10. As we are here assembling this morning, and notice what it says, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And so as we come together, we are encouraging, we are uplifting, edifying one another to hold fast to that confession and do not let go. And what is that confession? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that I believe in Him, and because I believe in Him, I have eternal life. And what does it say in verse 24? And let us consider how to stimulate one another. Are you stimulated when you come together to assemble? I am. And if we are not stimulated, if we are not encouraged, if we are not uplifted, we need to change something. Or we all need to go somewhere else to church. But rather, we are a great congregation because we stimulate and we consider and we think about one another. Verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling, and we do not do that. We have a great assembly. We also have great Bible classes. Be turning your Bibles with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul writes to Timothy, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support, or your Bible may say, foundation of the truth. And we have great Bible classes. If you want to know what kind of church an individual congregation is, I'll tell you an easy way to find out. Walk into the classrooms. Just walk into the classrooms. That's all you need to do. What will you find as you walk into the classrooms, especially with the children? You will find out if the teachers really care about teaching. You will find out how much time and effort and energy do they put into teaching. And I'll tell you something. Someone who is visiting us, especially if they have children, to take them and show them the classrooms. It says something. It sends a message. This is a great congregation. It's evident. Just go to the classrooms. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. We have a great group of young people, as you already know. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I've got a typo there on the PowerPoint. It's verse 12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness. And I'll remind the young people of this. And I try my hardest. I am devoted not to do this, because I tell you what, you hear about it in congregations all over the world. The old people look down on the young people. A young man or a young woman grows up, becomes an adult, moves out, has their own place, and what do you hear? The people in the congregation treat them like it's still little old Johnny, 6 years old, doesn't know anything. That is wrong. Then what does Johnny do? Johnny leaves the congregation to go somewhere else to get some respect. And the people in the congregation are sitting there saying, why do all of our young people leave? It's because you don't respect them. Paul says to Timothy, let no one look down or despise your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, Show yourself an example to those who believe, and our young people are an example to those who believe. Let me give you two illustrations. A young man named Ed visited us. I think it was two Sunday nights ago. And he had been here for some time and had gone to church here, and he lives way off somewhere. But he just happened to be visiting a friend up here, so he comes in one Sunday night for church, and he is swarmed by our young people. They invite him to their houses to go out with them to the Devo that we were having at the time. And Ed was struggling at the time. He'll be the first to tell you about that. And he was encouraged and he was uplifted. And I'm going to tell you something. That changed his life. Helped him to commit himself to be what he ought to be and to be at church like he should and to be in the Word of God. And Ed came here just to visit for like a day or two, and he made sure he came here and drove way far out of his way to do it. I'll give you another illustration, and this comes from Michael Matthews when we had the young men's class a couple of Sunday evenings ago. And I'm glad he said this. I'm glad he brought this out to our young people. He said, when we started visiting here, the thing that impressed us foremost was the young people. And he had some good reasoning behind it. He said, if the young people have their act together, in all probability, the parents and the elders do too. And I thought that was a very good analysis. What would have happened if they came in here and they visited and our young people were just, they didn't care, they were sitting in the back, they were constantly going out to do something else, they were disrespectful, all those things that you find some places but not here. Michael, I don't think you'd be here right now, would you? I don't think you'd be here. What made the difference? It was the first impression of our young people. We have a great congregation because we have great young people. And older folks, let's never forget that. Let's make sure we give them the respect that they need and deserve, and let's treat them like they are important. I know that you do, but let's not forget that. Let's not forget it. We have a great congregation because of older people. I'm sorry, I just left you out of there. I'll have to revise my PowerPoint. I'm going to talk about the older people for a second. Turn your Bibles with me over to Titus chapter 2, then I'll talk about friendliness. Titus chapter 2, and beginning in verse 2. Because the fact of the matter is, we have a great group of young people because they've been taught how to be good young people, to be holy, righteous, godly. Somebody had to teach them. And as Michael said, that is a reflection on the parents and the rest of the congregation. Titus chapter 2, verse 2, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Now, I want you to notice that. Whenever individuals in a congregation are not living as they should, what happens? The end of verse 5, the word of God and God himself is dishonored. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I believe this with all my heart. God is not dishonored here. And therefore, this is a great congregation. Not only because of the young, but because of the older who taught and raised the younger ones. Now let's talk about friendliness. Go over to John chapter 13. As you turn over there, as I talk with people who visit with us, this is one of the things. Our recent gospel meeting, what did we hear over and over and over and over? It seems like every night somebody would say, you know, you all are just so friendly. You know, the word friend comes from the word love. Why are we friendly? We are friendly because we love each other. That's why. And John chapter 13 and verse 35 says this: "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." People know whether or not we are disciples of Jesus Christ. People know whether or not we are doing the things that we ought to be doing by our relationship together. If we don't love each other, if there's discord, if there's trouble, if there's factions, all sorts of things going on, if we're grumbling and angry with one another, and all these things such as this, it tells them this is a bad congregation. They're not the disciples they ought to be, and I sure don't want to have anything to do with it. Something's wrong. Well, that's not the case here. We love one another. We care for one another. We're friends with one another. And you talk with people who come in to visit, and you hear it endlessly. And that really is one of the greatest compliments we could be paid by someone who just walks in the door. What's different from us and others that are out in the world? We really are friendly because we love each other. It's not unusual for me to, sometimes, you know, after the service, sometimes I'll stand down here so I get to talk to people going out this way, and sometimes I'll stand back there. And if I'm standing up here and we've got a visitor in the back, I may have, there'll be all sorts of people come here and say, you know, have you met so-and-so back there, one of our visitors back there? People are already talking to our visitors. And greeting our visitors, exchanging phone numbers with our visitors. And you know, it's a great thing. It's just not the preacher's job. It's just not the elder's job. It's everyone's job. And we all take it that way. Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. And I could have chosen a number of scriptures to talk about our greeting one another. And this says, verse 16, greet one another. And many of the passages just say greet. This one says, with a holy kiss. And it's not the kiss that's important, but it's the holy greeting. And the greeting is holy here. It is that greeting from sanctified, holy, godly, righteous individuals. And because of that, make up a great congregation. Turn your Bibles with me over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, because I want to talk about our social fellowship outside of our assembly together. And although these things are not a work of the church does not have oversight of these things, does not dictate these things. And yet, as a gospel preacher, I have to talk about every aspect of life, and this is one of them, and it is our social fellowship together. It is important. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, we have the apostolic example. Alan, are you saying these things are required? Well, I'm telling you we have an approved apostolic example, and the answer is yes. God does not intend for us to be out in the world and to be surrounded by people living in sin with all the negative influences and not take the time and effort to spend time together away from all of that stuff. Look at what it says in chapter 2, verse 46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. This is sharing meals house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. It wasn't too long ago a young Christian mentioned to me who hadn't been able to be out and to have the social fellowship with other Christians and was able now to be out was out with other Christians and said, you know, I miss this so much, it feels so good to be around other Christians socially outside of church. It's stimulating, it's encouraging, it's uplifting, even if all we're doing is sitting around watching TV, watching a movie, going out to do something, sitting around talking, whatever it is, it's spiritually stimulating to spend time together. And parents, it's our responsibility to make sure our young people have that in their lives. It is not our responsibility to throw them to the wolves 5 and 6 days a week to go into the world and to have to deal with all of the things and all the bad influences and all the nasty, filthy language. People doing things to them against their will. The teacher doesn't see it and the boss doesn't see it. And then not also provide for them spiritual, quote unquote, recreational opportunities with other Christians. And I tell you something, for the congregations and the individuals who are not concerned about that, they are the ones sitting around wondering why all the young people are falling away, and that's because you throw them to the wolves and you never do anything else for them. That's why. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. Now this is a command. We are a great congregation because we observe these things. We take them serious. We just do not try to blow it off and excuse it as if it's not applicable to us. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 9, be hospitable to one another without complaint, which is a qualification of an elder. If it's not important, and if it's not a big deal, and if it's just optional, why is it a qualification of an elder? It is important. Let me give you some illustrations. Tom and Melanie have had the congregation over to their house every time we've had a young men's Bible study. And we're going on about 6 or 7 of them right now. I was talking to Melanie on the phone. We were joking around and teasing. Actually, her and Beth had been joking around and teasing, and I wanted to get in on it, so I called her back. And she had, her and Tom had 60 people over. What was it, 2 Sundays ago or something like that? 60 people. That's a good example. And everyone there loves it, has fun, encouraged. That's part of what we're supposed to be doing. Work of the church? No. Oversight of the elders? No. Personal, individual work that we do. Some of our men went golfing. They do that from time to time. Go off and spend some time together, have Bible class, devotional. I've never been there. I'm just guessing. They probably pray together when they do that. Have fun, competitive, but with Christians. Our ladies like to go out sometimes. That's a good thing. Spend time together. Lord willing, we're going to have a ladies' Bible class one night a month. Series of lessons. If that works out, men, let's do our best to take care of what needs to be taken care of so our ladies can go. That's important. Our young people go out together. They go bowling. Some of them go to camp. They go out and eat. Go over to each other's houses. Have devotionals. That's important. We have a great congregation because of the people. Where there are great people, there is a great congregation. And it's because of those individuals who are knit together in love, holding fast to the head, doing their part as they should do here with the congregation, at church, as a work of the church, and outside. Thinking, taking those things on, doing those things, and most of them you never hear of. Sometimes I'll talk about them, some I hear of, and I'm sure I hear of just a small amount of them. Those things are going on. Therefore, we have a great congregation. I'm glad to be here. And I know you are too. Well, let's offer the gospel invitation. Number 344, we're going to sing that. To be a part of a great congregation, first you have to be a Christian. And as we obey the Lord Jesus Christ, as we believe in Him, repent of our sins, confess that He is the Son of God, to be baptized, then we are added to the church by the Lord. And then as a member of the Lord's church, we join ourselves with a local congregation to do the local work as individual Christians. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can become a Christian so that you too can be a part of God's family and part of a great congregation. Think about that. If we can help you at all, I want you to come to the front now as we stand and as we sing.